The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side and issue number 118. What is it going to be, John? WandaVision, maybe?
WandaVision, Crimson Flower, maybe?
Oh, you like Crimson Flower?
War and Pax. Could be.
Which do you want it to be? We're working it out right here.
Well, I think WandaVision, right? We do a little Kryptonite Key Club at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that your favorite part of the show?
Hashtag Tunnel of Despair.
Oh, man. I forgot about that.
That's all I got to say.
Literally. Seconds from right now, the listeners are going to be so intrigued.
Yep.
We go, Johnny goes to the dark side, let me tell you.
Real dark.
Oh, that's a tease. That's wrong.
Get your miner's helmets, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep. Turn your head. Get your miner's helmet, whatever you want to say. We open the show with some exciting talk, John. Has some big news. Hey, you dropped it, not me.
You're right.
Oh man, I forgot all about that. I forgot we opened the show with that. So, without further ado,
let's see what you did there.
Let's get into the store. Happy birthday, John. Hey, get the fire extinguisher ready. Cake here. It's got a lot of candles on it, buddy.
It does. You're right about that.
Oh, how are you feeling? I said, how are you feeling?
Hey. Come again?
Oh, man.
I say, how are you feeling?
How are you feeling? Oh, man. Old man.
Feeling good.
Feeling good? Feeling good.
Yep.
Looking good.
Looking good, Winthrop.
Yeah. What was that, Stripes?
No, Trading Places.
Oh, that's right. I don't know why I was thinking Stripes.
Looking good, Billy Ray.
Yeah. Feeling good. Yeah.
Feeling good.
Oh. So, how was your birthday? How was your day? This is the end of it.
It is the end. Well, technically, when you hear this, it was yesterday.
It was yesterday, so, right. But as we talk, it actually is your birthday, so.
It is my birthday right now, yeah. It was fine. I mean, I worked all day, so.
In a comic book store.
Just another Wednesday, really. Yeah. I couldn't. Well, I mean, not that I couldn't take off today, because I could have, but I've got to take a few days off next week, and, you know, payroll being a thing.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'll just work on my birthday, and I'm off tomorrow, today/Thursday.
Well, yeah, and I mean, we talked a little before the show. You have quite the celebration plan for next week. That's why you're taking some time off.
Yeah.
Party favors and all.
with being 50... plus comes the inevitable colonoscopy. No HIPAA laws here, man. I'll just share my business with the world.
TMI. But, TMI. Yeah. I wasn't going to
So well, hey.
Lucky
it's,
duck.
It's just a fact of life. Yep. So, one of those things, you know, you'll be there. Well, you're there already.
I'm there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know when yours is scheduled for. But.
Actually, here's the funny thing. I saw my doctor when I was 49. I turned 50 this past year, and because of COVID, my appointment was scheduled. They had to reschedule and reschedule, so I still haven't seen her. Right. So when I saw her when I was 49, she told me, she goes, "Well, you're 49. You're going to be 50." But the new guidelines are like after 45, you're supposed to be getting the colonoscopy, right? She goes, "So I recommend you get one now." I haven't seen her since.
Right. I actually got one again. Now this is way TMI, but I actually had one. I had one like 10 years ago. because my dad.
Oh, that's why you're looking forward to it. You've already experienced it.
Yeah. You know, my dad passed from cancer, so they made, you know, they had me get one early.
Right.
And, but yeah, now it's been 10 years. So, that's why, you know, technically, you know, I'm 51. I should have had it last year, but it's been 10 years. So now I'm luckily get to go back and have that fun again.
Good times. So. This is the bright side.
I know, right?
This is the bright side.
The dark side.
Seriously,
of the bright side.
Talking dark side.
We're going back to the tunnel of despair. Hashtag tunnel of despair.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Oh, okay. So.
Anyway. You can decide whether you want to cut all that out of the open.
No
of the show
way.
Or
no way. You can't.
I'll find out. I'll find out on the playback whether it made it in or not.
Like, hey, too many candles on this cake. So this week in comics.
This week in comics.
Nah, I'm leaving it in. You brought it up. It's not like if I had spilled the beans and you were mad, I'd be like, all right, I'll scrub all that.
Yeah, no, no.
Like every other week.
Yeah, right.
We always joke like all this gets taken out. It's like, what do we
I
take
know.
Out?
It really, I don't think, I can't really think of anything.
I can't remember the last time we took out a bathroom break. I think we had one a while ago where it was like, just go. I'll just, it's just dead air. I just lop it off.
Right.
But we don't do that long of shows anymore.
No.
I think our end game was like 3 hours or something, wasn't it? Didn't we go almost three?
It was pretty long. One time? I think it was pretty long.
But all right. So anything else? You got any funguses growing? Anything else you want to clear up here before we get into some good news?
I don't think so. I mean, I had a hangnail.
Oh, and, nice. Okay.
Maybe a wart on my elbow or something. I don't know. But
there you go. They just ripped those out.
Yeah.
All right.
Just cut them off.
All right. Let's get to some fun.
All right.
I'm going to start it off with the show everybody's been talking about. No, I'll save it. I'll save it. I'm going to save it for our real world, but I was going to open with it because it's so big. It's such a big topic, but I'll save it for real world. All right, what do we got?
Big market tease there.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm pretty sure I do, but
I'm pretty sure you don't.
But this isn't the part of the show where we talk about that stuff, so
I was
surprised.
I know. Well,
this,
you'll see.
This is the time on Sprockets when we dance. Old reference for those that are our age.
Yes, exactly. All right, what do we got for breaking? We got, are you believing this Chris Evans stuff? Or did you hear it someplace else?
No, but I do believe it. Yeah.
So do I.
The big rumor is that Chris Evans is in talks to return as Captain America in the MCU. Not necessarily to star in another Captain America movie. That I would not believe. But
no.
Maybe in some kind of a cameo spot, possibly even in the... Well, actually, I wouldn't think it would be Falcon Winter Soldier because that ship has probably sailed. Filming is done on that, but something upcoming. Maybe Loki? I don't know.
Well,
or maybe, you know, maybe one of the films, but...
Let me throw a couple things at you. One, as far as Winter Soldier, you know, Falcon Winter Soldier... if Luke can show up on The Mandalorian, anybody can show up on Falcon Winter Soldier. I mean, you're literally talking
the
same parent companies. They're good at keeping secrets. They know how to do it. I'm not saying he's going to show up there, but that would not surprise me. After Luke showing up on Mandalorian, there's not much that could surprise me.
No, but he wouldn't be in talks to do that. Wouldn't be in talks now. For that show.
It doesn't mean it didn't already happen. It doesn't
mean
this isn't part of that leak.
That would have already had to have taken place because that filming is done. But yeah, you're right. This could be late news and could have already happened.
Exactly.
Could be like
you didn't see
that rapper. Could be like that rapper that died in October and we found about it last week.
As long as you're not finding out before you die, I suppose. I mean, late news is bad, but as long as it's not, I'm dying next week.
Right.
No, but the other thing I was going to... Did you see my... I tweeted back at... I replied or whatever to Chris Evans when he's like, news to me. And then I screen grabbed and put it all in one picture. All the... Like three different people that... All the different people. Like Ant-Man. What's it? Paul Rudd.
Yeah. Paul Rudd. Tatiana
Maslany. All the ones we've been talking about for weeks that were like, nope, not me. And, you know, it's... So I sent that back. I'm like, yeah. Well, what did I say? Oh, I said the actor's the last to know.
Right.
It's news to you. But the other thing I was going to say is, remember when they were doing Civil War? And when they were, when we heard that Civil War was coming, new Captain America 3 movie or whatever, and there was going to be a cameo by Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
Quite the cameo.
Yeah.
See, I mean, it was like... I'm wondering if those are the talks. Because right. From what I understand about the the Civil War, that was a Captain America movie, but I think Robert Downey Jr. got more money. Because,
well, I think Robert Downey Jr. got more money in general than everybody on every project.
Exactly. But I'm saying, but like to show up and be an extra or to do a cameo, which it really wasn't in Civil War. But you know what right. I mean? And maybe he's commanding that kind of money now. Like, I'll bring the character back, but I want to be paid like that.
Right. I want right. I want RDJ money.
Exactly. And so, and I don't blame him.
Well, I don't either.
I mean, the people are crying out for it.
Well, the thing is, he fulfilled his contract,
yep.
And at whatever rate of pay he got, and yeah, if they want him back now, then you know they're gonna have to bring him. You know, they're gonna have to meet his demands to come back. So,
yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. Really interesting. You know, hope it's true. I'd love to see him again. Now, again, and there's no guarantee that he even suits up. Like, it could just be old man Steve, you know, talking to, you know, Falcon or Winter Soldier, you know, at the end of that episode or something, you know?
Right.
It's just Chris Evans. It's not like we're guaranteed to get anything other than that, so.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, I just like all the talk about it and then him saying no. I think that's pretty funny.
Well, yeah. But again,
We've been down this road
once.
Before.
Yeah, I've seen that now. I don't believe anything anybody says anymore. You know,
right?
Ask Haley Steinfeld. Ask Tatiana. You know,
exactly.
So,
exactly. All right. What else do we got? We got plenty.
So Zack Snyder. Yeah, Zack Snyder said this week on a Venmo.
I had this conversation
that the Snyder Cut is not episodic, but it will be aired as a solid 4-hour runtime movie. I'm okay either way, you know. I mean, this is coming directly from Zach, so I think he knows, but at the end of the day, Warner Brothers can still cut this up and do whatever they want with it.
That's how I feel.
Like I said, I'm good either way. If it's a movie, I'm fine. I just watched, you know, The Hobbit, which was like 97 hours, so 4 hours would be like a, you know, a break. but if we get it weekly, I'm okay with that too. So
I had this discussion on Twitter with a bunch of people, like the day he came out with it. And at the time we were still talking you and I have been talking for a while. Is it going to be four 1 hours, 6 40 minutes? And
well, I thought they had come out and said 4 1-hour.
Right.
Like, I actually thought
that's what
I thought
did
this
say.
Was confirmed.
Yep,
yeah.
That was. And I saw that in December. I saw that even as early as early January. And then, of course, he comes out and says this.
Right.
Why would they change it at this late date? And that's one question. And the other one is, if they haven't changed it at this late date, is it possible that they want to put it, the studio wants to put it out in 4 pieces, but Zach's pissed and he wants to say it's a 4-hour event and that's the way it should be seen? Because that's kind of what he said. It's like they were like, is it a one shot? Yes. Okay. But he never said it's coming out as a one shot. He just said it is a one shot. So maybe he is saying that. I don't know, but that could be interpreted differently.
It could be. Or maybe they just realized or they feel that there's not 4 good breaks. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like maybe there's just not 4 clean breaks in the story where it makes sense to,
right.
to cut it. But
well, see, what I was afraid of is that part one, there wasn't a part one. Not enough to be compelling to your point of like, there's maybe, no great right. break there where we can end this and have people want to come back, because at right. the 40-minute mark, at the one-hour mark, wherever we're going to end this first episode, people are going to be like, what the hell? Right. And we might lose them. But if it's a four-hour event, okay. And Wonder Woman 84 didn't do as well as they wanted it to.
Right.
And is it maybe they're like, we can't have another event like that? And
right.
I don't know, but I mean.
Well, right, because it's easy to compress it back. You know, I mean, if you broke it up into four pieces and you decide not to do that, it's very easy to snap it all back into one movie. I think it's harder to cut it up into four equal parts. So.
Right, because it's meant as a 4-hour
movie.
Maybe
Wonder Woman had something to do with it. But yeah, I think his original vision, like, he didn't write this thing, you know, years ago thinking. Yeah, thinking it was going to be a four-parter. You know, it was one thing, so...
At best, I think you could break it up into two parts, like they do most movies.
Right.
But to do 4 one-hour movies, the pacing is just... It just feels wrong, because by the time you're at one-hour mark of a four-hour movie, you're, like...
Right,
movies
not much
are usually
has happened.
Built into thirds, and right. you're at... your. But where are you ending here? You know, right. it's like in the middle of the first act?
It's probably very easy to split it into two, like you said.
Yeah.
Because by the halfway mark, you've probably built up enough steam that people are definitely going to want to come back.
Right.
Whereas at the 1 hour mark, hell, they might just all still be getting breakfast. You know,
right.
I mean, yeah. don't know what's going on. So
would have been funny if it just like ended mid cut. There's no fade. There's
right.
no like,
right.
come back next week.
Yeah, same bat time.
I don't know. I'm honestly, after our Cobra Kai conversation, talking about binging and stuff, I do want the 4 hour. That's the one I prefer.
Just the movie?
Yeah, because
I think so
we
too,
have enough content weekly. I would have enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. I would have, obviously, to the bright side, I would have made the best of having 4 weeks, because we would have had fun with it, talking about it every week.
Well, right, because we could talk about it 4 times.
Right, but now we'll do a show on it. And
I was going to say, now you're going to rope me into having to do a show, so I really hope it drops 4 weeks in a row.
Yeah, because talking to me is so painful. Talking to me about stuff you love to do.
Yeah. I gotta talk about Batman again. Jesus.
Damn. That guy. Him and the cape.
Yeah.
Why is he wearing a cape?
Hey, speaking of Batman.
Okay. Nice segue. Look at that. You've been rehearsing. That went just like it did in rehearsal.
I know, right? Speaking of Batman and HBO Max, looks like a Batman the Animated Series sequel is in development.
Sweet.
over at the Max. Now, I have concerns. I could be really, really happy with this if they bring back Bruce Timm and Paul Dini and Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill and the same animated style that Batman the Animated Series had.
Right.
If they bring back somebody else and they do it in some other kind of animated style, like if they try to update this,
right,
they'll ruin it. So, like, this is one of those things that's near perfect as it is. And if they don't plan on honoring that, they need to leave it alone, my opinion.
Yeah.
They haven't called me, so, you know, I'm putting it out there now so they can hear it.
You know, some big people are listening.
That's why I said it. Right. But but if they do it right, like, how awesome could this be? Because there's so much more that they could do in that world. And again, that's to me one of the that goes down as almost perfect television. Like, that show was so great, you know, just the way it was. So
yeah,
and you know, all those people are still around. You know, like Mark Hamill is still around. Kevin Conroy is still around. I can't think of her name, but Harley Quinn. It's escaping me.
Yeah.
I mean, like, she's still around. Like, they're all still around. So there's no reason why this can't be great. And I hope it is, because, you know, like I said, I really, really would look forward to this.
Cool. That, I mean, it would be great. It would be to bring that back. I think that would do a lot for the animated, the previous animated series. So right. It would bring that back to the forefront for people like, even like my son that has, I don't think Joe really watched it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was, yeah. By the time
it was kind of little, yeah.
He was young, and by the time it was
too young, yeah.
He was old enough. It was, there were other things on the plate, you know, there's no need to go back. I really enjoyed it, especially, you know, will we talk about it later? I don't know. Yeah, we'll talk about it later because we were talking about Batman and Catwoman. Mask of the Phantasm playing in the theaters and being, you know, briefly. But that movie and everything that happened in the 90s with that entire series was just, it was so much fun. And for us, where we were grown adults.
And that's the whole thing. I wasn't a kid.
We weren't kids. We were in our 20s, going into our 30s.
And I watched this religiously.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I know. My wife, I used to come home and be like, she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's cartoons.
Right. I'm watching Batman.
Yeah.
What does it look like I'm doing? Yeah.
Clear as day.
Yeah. Batman. Me.
Yeah.
Chair.
Yep. Yeah, I have my set right here that she gave me for Christmas. Still wrapped because I watched that. Had them on. It's sitting right above me here on the shelf. Entire set with the little Funko people in it and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she gave me that for Christmas 1 year. And I mean, she's like, I feel so bad because we had DC Universe. So we had all of them.
Right.
And I'm like, well, I don't want to open it. It's actually nice.
Right. I was like, well, don't feel bad.
Yeah, exactly. Don't feel bad. I love it.
Right.
All right, what do we got here? Savannah Welch?
Savannah Welch has been cast.
This is really cool.
Yeah, this is cool. She has been cast as Commissioner Barbara Gordon on season 3 of Titans.
I like that about Titans. They take a character and they, like, for this universe, they completely, like, they twist it, but not crazy twist it.
Not crazy because it's still, she's still, this is the Oracle Barbara Gordon, right? So in this world, she has been crippled by, presumably by the Joker, and, you know, is wheelchair bound, but has taken her father's place as commissioner of Gotham PD. So that's new. Like that, I don't think at any point in the comics she was ever commissioner. But, you know, obviously she was Oracle for quite a long time. And the cool thing about it is, and not that I say that the cool thing, there's nothing really cool about this, but like Savannah Welch is, you know, a disabled actress. Like she is wheelchair bound.
Right.
So, and she has been advocating for, you know, handicapped actors and, I was gonna say actors and actresses, but they're all actors.
They're all actors. Yeah.
You know, to get more parts. And so, you know, she, lost a leg in an accident, you know, years ago, and again is confined to a wheelchair. So again, nothing cool about that specifically, but it's cool that they have cast her, you know.
Yeah,
they didn't just get somebody to sit in a chair, you know. They actually went and hired somebody, so that's very cool. I don't know her from anything. Like,
no.
I tried to look her up. I've never, she's been in other things that I haven't seen any of them, so I can't speak to any of that. You know, it's TV and they can do whatever they want, but a little disappointed that she's not a redhead, but she may be when the show comes
around.
Yeah. But you know, Barbara famously has red hair. So,
yeah. That's not really, that's not hard to do.
It's not. I guess if I go back to Batman 66, Batgirl, she only had red hair when she put her helmet on or put her mask on, right? She had dark hair otherwise.
Right.
So.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't know why I brought that up, just to hear myself talk, really.
That's how you get airtime. So when you listen back,
you get
to hear yourself.
Exactly. Still no word on when we're going to see season 3 of Titans. If they're just doing this casting, then that they're still, obviously they're still in the shooting phase of this.
Right.
So it's probably a little ways off.
At least later this year. I mean, at the...
Yeah.
They've...
I would say probably November, which is a full 2 years after season 2.
Yeah.
Basically. So, you know, again, and probably COVID had a lot to do with that.
See, I was going to ask you, Do you think it was that or DC Universe and HBO Max?
Well, it could be some of that.
You know what I mean? Could not be some knowing of that where too, their home honestly. Would be and why.
Yeah.
I think they slowed production down on these things and that, you know, I don't know.
It could be. You know, it could be some combination of.
But at the same time, does that even make sense? Wouldn't you take a show like Titans, which was very popular, and if you're running HBO Max, throw that out last year in like September,
yeah,
October?
You would think.
I don't know. It just.
I mean, they
trying to make like, sense of it.
HBO Max didn't really launch with a big show, so
that's what I mean.
You would think that could have been something.
Yeah. So I don't know.
You know,
maybe it was the uncertainty of DC Universe and where things were going to go, and they did.
Could be.
You know.
Yeah, could be.
I don't know. That's too bad.
But I think we knew it would end up somewhere. Like,
oh yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, you would think they would just make it. You know what I mean? It's like, well, we're going to make it. You figure out where to put it. So
it's kind of like this podcast.
Exactly.
We just make it, and then Martin figures out where it goes.
Exactly.
Not like back in the day when I did it and it went to three people.
Right.
Me, you.
Yeah, and I think my wife.
Yeah.
Who never listened. She just downloaded it.
Hey, we get the credit.
Yep.
Remember those days?
I do.
All right. Have you seen the schedule for the CW? I've made one.
Not really. Not really. I know that I saw today that Superman Lois is getting like a 90-minute premiere.
I saw a two-hour day, but 2 hours, 90, whatever. So Flash?
And the Flash has been delayed somewhat.
Till when?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just
okay,
saying.
Okay, so last I looked, which was yesterday, Flash was February 23rd. Which may be the delay. I don't know. Maybe it's been delayed since then. I don't know what you saw, but Superman.
I saw something today, so that was probably, yeah.
Okay. As we're talking later, I'll look that up. And Superman and Lois is also February 23rd, 2 hour premiere.
Oh, well, no. What I saw said that they were separated, like the Flash was going to come much later.
Okay. So. I'll double check that when we get into some other stuff when I can type. Okay. Supergirl is not scheduled yet. Legends, right. I didn't see a schedule yet. Stargirl, not scheduled yet. And Black Lightning is February 8th.
Okay.
And Batwoman, it started Sunday.
Yeah, which I didn't even know that started.
Yeah.
And apparently neither did anybody else because nobody watched it.
No, that's not true. But yeah, the ratings haven't been
well,
very
you might
good.
Have watched it. But yeah, no, the ratings were very
yeah,
poor.
It was what, down 80% from last
from
year?
From a show that didn't have high ratings to begin with.
Well, so. I think it was 80% from last year's premiere, which was the literal premiere, and now they've taken the show and changed it. So,
right. So, again, it's the literal premiere.
And it also went up against Brady Breeze.
Right. Right. That is a thing.
pretty big one.
But you can argue that this is a brand new show, so it's another premiere.
Yep. No, you're right.
Yes, and the fact that it went up against, you know, primetime NFL playoffs.
Yeah, and I heard people or saw people talking like, oh, it's a different market. No, it's not. That's not a different because
it's not because I'm in that
I'm
market.
I'm in that market, right. And I watch both. There's a lot of people our age, guys especially, that watch these shows, and they're into sports too. So now that's also the funny thing is how much do those ratings really mean on night of, because a lot of people do streaming and watch it the next day.
not as much as they used to,
right?
And I don't know how they tally any of that anymore, because I'm not a day and date watcher of anything, other than probably sports.
Yeah,
and even that
even
in a
that
lot of
you
cases,
have to wait, right, because of your packages.
In a lot of cases I have to wait for some of that stuff,
right?
So, like, even the Brady Breeze game, I don't have live TV anymore, so I couldn't watch it. I had to wait until it ended and watched it on the NFL replay app.
Oh.
Because I literally don't have, the only channel I have is CBS, because I have CBS All Access.
Right.
So, I don't have live TV at all.
Oh.
So, like I said, I literally don't watch anything when it airs.
Right.
So.
Okay. Netflix surpassed 200 million paid subscribers.
I saw that.
That's making insane. Some money.
Worldwide, yes.
They must be doing something pretty good over there.
I think they're doing something right. Mm. Cobra Kai, I guess.
Yes. You know? Cobra Kai sent them over the top. Yeah. And it was our promotion of it that really, because they didn't uptick until after our podcast.
I just saw that story this
week.
What
was it last week that came out after our podcast? And we'd been talking about it for a while. And I said, somebody big has been listening to us. I can't remember what the tweet was.
I remember that part of the conversation, but I don't remember.
I can't remember who it was. It was a conversation you and I. It'll probably come up later,
right?
And Paramount Plus, John. I've been asking. I've been looking for a new streaming service because there aren't many of them, and here comes Paramount Plus. You know, satisfying my wishes, and they'll launch on March 4th.
In March, right now. Apparently, this is just. CBS All Access upgraded, so
right.
I don't know what happens with, I have CBS All Access already, right. So
I think it's going to be an HBO Max thing with HBO and all of that.
Yeah, do I have to buy something separate to get this, or I don't know all the details, but it's basically, it's just CBS All Access Plus.
Right. It's always good when they change the name so people just really figure it,
exactly.
I mean, why make it simple?
Just when you get used to one.
Right. Exactly. But that's coming March 4th, so look for that. That's exciting. Yeah. Dr. Joe this week chiming in, Bright Side Chat at Arkham Comics. I looked it up after I read it myself, but Haha is a series of one-shots just like Ice Cream Man.
I saw that.
Granted, a little more closure would have been nice. Also, all things considered, this was a Bright Side special, all positive, all the time, ha ha, which that was great. We did. I don't think we mentioned that because that's what the theory of the book was. He was positive. He was bright about everything. He was positive about everything throughout the book. And later in the week, he also said at Bright Side Chat and at Arkham Comics, been enjoying The Alienist after John talked about it last week. It has been a long time since I read the book, so I think not remembering all the details has helped me enjoy the show.
It was the same for me. I read that book probably 15 years ago.
Did you really?
Maybe more.
Well, you guys are well read. I'd never even heard of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I read it. I read it quite a while ago. I read both of them, actually. I read series two. I read the book that the second season was based on as well. And yeah, I didn't remember any of it because it was a long time ago. So, yeah, it definitely helps. But yeah, really good show. So
cool.
I'm glad he enjoyed that.
We'll be talking more about that when we get into the real world.
Okay.
But as a hint.
Yeah. Well, so you answered a question I was just going to ask. So I won't bother.
Excuse me. Sorry about that. Let's see. Anything else? Do we have anything else, John?
I don't have any other news.
All right. I don't have
any. At least
any.
Not this fit to print. So.
No, or say. Well, we started off with the stuff not fit to print.
That's true.
Instead of going on about that again, hey, how about we get into some comics?
Sure.
All righty. What am I going to spend my money on this week?
Abbott 1973 issue 1 came out today, has a 1 in 25 variant by Jenny Frisson that is selling for about $35. There was also a 1 per store variant, Boom likes to do with their number ones, and that is going for $20. So, not too bad there. Black Cat issue number 2 has a 1 in 50 variant by Adam Hughes, very popular artist, so these are selling anywhere between $50 and $90. The Alien variant is done by Peach Momoko. That's selling a bunch of copies too, although they're all right around cover price. I have some Peach Momoko news, by the way. I was doing my previews order for January today, and I noticed a lot of Marvel titles with Peach Momoko covers. So we had been talking about her signing exclusive with Marvel and how we were still seeing covers for her on every other book. But it looks like starting like her backlog of other titles is probably drying up because she's got variants for almost every Marvel book coming out in March. And she also has her own book. She's doing an X-Men book where she's writing, drawing, and doing everything herself. So, again, I had mentioned at one point that I don't think she had really done any interior work on any of these books. Everything was just cover art. But she does have a book coming where she's doing the whole thing. So, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
With that. So, not speculator stuff, but since her name came up,
yep,
I figured I'd throw that out there.
We're allowed to have a tangent here and there.
Hey, you know,
and that tangent was very apropos. Nice job.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Daredevil 25, the long-awaited second printing came out today. you know, most of them are selling at cover price, but they are selling a lot of copies. This was a pretty cool cover. If you haven't seen it by now, it's basically the splash page from the end of Daredevil 25. But the 1 in 25 variant on that is selling for anywhere between $25 and $50. So, you know, call it $30 for an average price if you're looking to pick up one of those.
Yep.
I Breathed a Body, issue number 1, has a 1 in 15 variant by Trevor Henderson. Seems to be selling for around $20. But there was a sale a couple days ago for $40. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. Iron Fist, Heart of the Dragon, issue number 1. The cover we want to look at here is the 1 in 50, the Philip Tan variant. Probably not a ton of these on this title. And it's selling pretty steadily for $70. Killadelphia, issue 12, has a B cover by Todd McFarlane. Also selling pretty much at cover price, but there's been a few sales in the $10 range. This thing did, I sold out of these today. I had a lot of people looking for it. Although, to be fair, it's not a title that you'll order a ton of anyways. Right. But that cover was pretty in demand today. And then last but not least, Star Wars Dr. Aphra, issue number 7, is the first appearance of a character called Wen Delphus. Selling, you know, pretty much $7 to $12 is the going price for the main cover. But the 1 in 25 Jenny Frisson variant is going crazy. Sales yesterday on eBay, anywhere between $25 and $250. The only one currently on auction was at $89 with 3 days still left to go. So that one's going crazy for some reason. Also, again, a book where there's probably not a ton of 1 in 25s out there. You know, I don't sell a ton of copies of this title. But yeah, that's a lot of money for a 1 in 25.
Yeah.
And that is it for Speculator Roundup.
All right, let's get into some back issue bonus. This is where the big money happens, people.
This is. So Serial, issue number 1. Serial, not like your breakfast cereal.
Oh, never mind.
This book came out last week from Terry Moore, selling for anywhere between $10 and $15. Port of Earth, number 1. This was announced like 2 years ago. We talked about it as being optioned and then kind of was quickly forgotten about. Looks like there might be some movement happening now again with this because this is starting to heat up again and is selling for between $20 and $25. Aquaman 57. This is from the current run this year, 2020. First Aqua Baby, Andy Curry. Andy Curry is now appearing in Future State, so this being his first appearance, selling for between $20 and $25 right now on average.
Nice.
Star Wars Darth Vader number 5. This is from the first series in 2015. A bunch of first appearances here and selling for about $25. Ruins of Ravencroft Carnage number 1. This is the first appearance of Cortland Cassidy. Selling for $15. Astonishing X-Men number 6 from 2004. This is the first appearance of Abigail Brand and Sword. This has a lot to do with WandaVision. Sword is, you know, plays a big role in that show. And Abigail Brand is, it's rumored that the neighbor, I can't think of her name, is actually Abigail Brand. So we'll have to wait and see if that's true. But prices are all over the place on this because of that speculation, selling for between $30 and $50. Spider-Gwen, number 24, is the first appearance of Gwenom. This book has, you know, been hot anyways, but it's jumped again because of the King in Black, selling for between $80 and $100, with the second printing going for about $25. Punisher, number 13, from 2019. This one has, it deals with the controversy of police using the Punisher skull symbol. That is back in the news now, and book is selling for about $20. And looks like, well, actually, there's two more. See, I always say, I always want to say last but not least, and then I scroll down and there's more on the next page. So, almost last, the penultimate.
I'll smooth it all out in post.
Miles Morales, number 18. This is the first appearance of the Miles clone. Selling for $10 right now, but it looks like there's a Miles clone saga coming soon. So
nice.
I would imagine this is going to jump up exponentially from there. And then last but not least, finally, Something is Killing the Children, number 4. Second printing on this. Apparently there are less than 1,000 copies out there, and there's a lot of collectors looking for it.
Really?
So this is now a $300 comic book.
There's only 1,000 copies of that book?
Yep. Second print.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Very low. Yeah. Very low and very pricey. So,
crazy.
And yeah, that is it for Speculator Roundup.
All right. Let's get into FOC for next Monday, or in this case for DC tomorrow?
Sunday. No, it's Sunday.
I know.
It's not a holiday next week. So
You never know with them. I just,
I know.
I always ballpark it as today.
Yep. You know, another this was a pretty light FOC again this week, but DC had two variant covers, which I liked. Future State Nightwing number 2 has a Nicola Scott variant cover, and Future State Shazam number 2, Gerald Perel.
I forgot to look today. I never saw
them. With the pictures?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's one new series, from DC, Truth and Justice, issue number 1, and there's two covers available for that. Moving to Image, we have Aria, Heavenly Creatures, which is a one-shot with multiple covers.
Cool.
Marvel, their variant covers were mostly missing in action. There were really none available. Excuse me. But there's two series, Immortal Hulk Flatline. Number 1 had two covers. I think that's actually just a one shot. And then X-Men Legends number 1, which is a new series, had multiple covers.
Cool.
From Boom, we have the long awaited Berserker.
Yep.
Number 1, that's the Keanu Reeves project. Multiple covers.
Wasn't that supposed to be out a while ago?
It was. It got delayed. We had actually already ordered this a while back.
Yeah.
The orders got canceled and it got postponed. So looks cool. Like it's back on track now.
So that means in what, 3 weeks it's out? About 3 weeks?
Should be. Yeah. Should be in 3 weeks.
Sometime in February.
Yeah.
Cool. Looking forward to
Buffy
that
the Vampire Slayer Faith issue number 1 has multiple covers. Vault Comics has a book called Hollow Heart number 1 with two covers. And Valiant has Final Witness, number 1 of 5, with multiple covers, and Savage, number 1, with multiple covers. And that is it for FOC.
Cool. All right, let's get to checkout. What did you check out this week?
First book I read is from Dark Horse. It was a book called Crimson Flower. Issue number 1, and this is a 4-issue mini-series. It was written by Matt Kint, and it had art by Matt Lesniewski.
Lesniewski. Yep.
So I don't know if you got a chance to read this book or not.
Yes, I did.
Okay. So this,
I read both of these. Yep.
Okay. This deals with a woman who, as a young girl, was kind of the victim of a home invasion where her father was killed. And she goes on a journey into her adulthood to basically track down the person that killed her father. And I imagine exact some kind of revenge on him. She tells a lot of this through like folk tales. This takes place in Russia, and you know, this kind of told through the backdrop of like Russian folk tales.
Mm. Yeah,
I enjoyed this story. I was really, really put off by the art, though. Unfortunately,
wasn't it kind of crazy?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It was very stylized.
Yes,
and the artist was definitely going for something.
Yeah,
but I did not like it. And it really took away from me. This is one of those books where if the story was a little bit less compelling, I probably would have stopped reading it.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah,
amazingly enough.
It really just wasn't for me. I heard somebody else talking about it today who really enjoyed the art. Because of the style, or I don't know if he always draws like that. Maybe this was like a chance he was taking. I don't really know.
We were just talking about him a couple of weeks ago. Who did Silver Surfer Black?
Oh,
and that style.
Trad Moore.
Yes. So this reminded me a little of that, just poorly done compared to that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this had that kind of flowing kind of artwork that, like, some of the people's limbs and stuff, it had a definite, it was, there's a style to it. And right. I'm not saying it's bad. It's not for me. And
right. That's the same. It's just, it wasn't for
right.
me.
Right. And you could see he was going for something. And to be fair to the artist, super consistent. This is how he drew
yes.
it.
Right.
If it's something that you like, you're going to love this book because it's consistent throughout. It kind of flowed with the story, but I would have preferred, like you, I loved the story. I felt like the artwork would have been, or the story from me would have been better served being grittier and a little bit more realistic and giving you like even a monochromatic feel. I probably would have gone with because of the tone of this story, which.
Yeah. Cause like I said, I did like the book.
Yeah.
I liked the story. I had a hard time getting past it, though. I really did. This is a toss-up on whether I continue or not. I'm not sure I will.
I am going
Although, like I said, I was intrigued by the story, so yeah. I might. But
yeah. And I thought the story was that good that I definitely want to continue with it because I want to see. It just had a nice, can't call it nice, but a twist to it, kind of.
So it did, yes.
I want to see how that plays out. And the artwork didn't bother me. It's not like I was like, "Boo, I don't want to see it." But it just, I think it could have been enhanced even more if it had some artwork that appealed to me a little bit better. But I guess that's a testament to how good the story is.
Well, it is. And, you know, again, maybe, you know, I'm 51, right? So maybe I'm just old, but I just tend to gravitate towards more traditional comic book art.
Right.
You know, I mean, every artist is slightly different, but this was like out there, you know, and I don't tend to enjoy artists or books that take chances like that have the, you know,
right.
take chances with the art style like that. I am a much more traditional, you know, I want good, clean lines, and I want people to look like people, and you
right.
know.
But see, this is more of a style choice that you don't
it,
like.
It was.
Whereas, like,
yeah.
JRJ,
right?
That's just bad.
You're right.
There's stuff that you go, that's not a style. Nobody's arm looks like that, or it's just
right.
it's just
he's trying to do traditional work. It just he's just not succeeding.
Right. And it's only at times because he does stuff that's pretty good. But sometimes,
yeah. Whereas
you're like,
with Matt Lesniewski here, like, he wasn't trying for that.
No.
Like, he was definitely going a different direction
for his style, right?
So he succeeded in doing what he was doing.
Yes.
But it's just not for me.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so.
All right. Let's just move on to the next one.
Okay. You don't have one to throw in the middle?
No. No, I'll talk about it afterwards. I read a bunch of other stuff, but all of the new stuff that I read, these were the only two I really wanted to talk about today, because I read a few others that I don't even want to mention because I wasn't crazy about them.
Okay.
So this is the bright side.
This is the bright side. All right. Well, we read Maestro War and Pax, issue number 1 of 5. This is from Marvel Comics.
I can't wait to see what you think.
Written by Peter David, had art by Javier Pena. Cover art by Dale Keown. So this is basically a continuation of the last Maestro miniseries that just finished, which was also a 5-issue miniseries. This kind of picks up right where that one left off. And this is, you know, the Maestro, which, if you're not familiar, is the Hulk, Bruce Banner, in an alternate timeline future where he's basically set himself up as like the de facto ruler of the world. And you know, he wants everybody to fall in line with him. So he is, going after one of the outposts that are still not under his control, which happens to be in Washington, D.C., which, if you read the previous miniseries, is where he entered this world. Like, he entered this world with this group and set out from there and, you know, went on to become the Maestro. So he is now going back to bring them to heel under his rule, because he feels that, you know, humans can't make choices for themselves anymore. You know, something happens at the beginning of this book that reinforces the idea to him that, you know, people aren't capable of making their own choices. They need to just fall in line, and he knows best. And, will take them under his control by any means necessary. You know, he's perfectly fine if he doesn't have anybody left because he's killed them all. As long as there isn't somebody that's left that's not following his rule. I don't know. I liked it. I mean, I liked the first miniseries. This is just more of the same. The art was good. The writing was good. I enjoyed it. I think, like I said, if you like the last story, you'll like this one. So.
All right. I loved it.
Yeah.
And I didn't read the first one.
No?
I hadn't read the first one. Yeah. But I saw this one coming out. I kind of liked the cover. Caught my eye back when
I've seen ads
for it. Yeah. I don't know if it was in our FOC weeks ago or not, but
yeah, I liked the cover.
And I was intrigued by it. And I hadn't read the first, so I was like, all right, I'll just jump on, see what it's like. And I wasn't I wasn't sure if you were going to read it because it's a Marvel book. You know,
right, but there wasn't a ton of number ones.
Exactly. So I wanted to grab it, and then, you know, I know you read most of the books anyway, so I was like, it's typically not something that I would read on day one. But I was really intrigued by it, and I read it, and I loved it. I love the story. I love the, it's kind of telling the story of society and what we're, you know, the different directions we could go in.
Right.
I don't want to call it political satire here, but
there is.
It's
appropriate for the times we're in.
but I think any time could say that. It's like every time thinks that they're the first time that this has happened, and it's really not. But that's what's fun about it. But one of the things I noticed, and this is pretty much spoiler free, but do you get a Thanos vibe from him?
I feel like he doesn't consider himself the villain necessarily,
but he is.
Like, I think at the end of the day, he ultimately thinks like he knows best, and he's making the right decisions.
Isn't that Thanos, or are you talking Maestro?
Right. No, right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
because Thanos felt the same. Like,
right. In the opening scene of this book, something happens that's very similar to Thanos.
Right.
I mean, we saw this exact scene, Thanos do it. They almost did it frame for frame. And there's a panel where Maestro, you know, Banner, is squatting down.
Right.
And he has the gold bracelet on. He has, like, not a full gauntlet, but he's got the gold bracelet. And I was just like, that panel looks like Thanos. And and what he was doing at that time reminded me a lot of Thanos. And I wanted to bring it up because it's like I said, it's not really a spoiler, but I think that's a very intriguing path, because kind of what you're seeing is like, okay, so he was the Hulk. He is Banner. We know Banner. How do you get from Banner to Thanos? And that's, in a way, that's, it's kind of fun to see this, because how did Thanos get to be Thanos? We don't know his backstory. You know, so I thought that was kind of an interesting direction. And again, I love the story, that how it's going, and definitely going to continue on this. And maybe I'll even pick up the first series, grab that.
Yeah, you should. It was good.
Blast through it.
Yeah, it was good.
So, yeah, that was really good. Highly recommend that.
Yeah.
And it's only 5 books, so.
Yeah, it's be an easy read.
Yeah. What else did I read today? Did you read Batman Catwoman today?
I did, yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I liked it a little bit better than issue 1. I feel like it stuck a little bit more.
Yes.
To the main story, and it was a little bit easier to follow. Yeah, okay. I don't know. I was a little bit more on board with it after issue 2 than I was after issue 1.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. I felt like when you said it stuck more, I thought you were going to say, like, you understood. Like, I understood it a lot better. I understood the flashbacks and stuff and the
time
jumping, because I know what I'm in for.
It did a better job of telling the story.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Did it actually do a better job, or is it now that we're familiar with the format that it's just easier for us to understand it? You know, whereas in the first one, you're like, you have no idea. You don't know the format yet, and you're figuring it out as you go. Do you see what I mean?
Well, maybe, but I don't know. I felt like the time jumps were a little bit more, like,
cohesive?
Delineated. Like, you could tell where you were easier than you could in the first book.
Okay.
Because in the first book, I just felt like you were all over the place, and you didn't really know what you were reading. Excuse me. To your point, maybe it is because this is issue 2, and we were looking for it more.
Right.
But it could also be that they just did a better job.
Yeah.
In this issue. But yeah, I felt like the story was, you know, a little bit easier to follow, and you know, I'm really, again, it's compelling. The basically like the future or the current timeline, which would be, you know, older Selina and the Joker, you know. I'm intrigued by that. So, you know,
see, I love that the future story, which is like when they're old.
Right.
And because you don't get a lot of that, you know, that's always alternate universe stuff, because Batman, Superman, these characters have been around for like, what, 80 years?
Right.
But they never age.
Years old. Right. They're still 30 years old.
So they're always, when you talk about them getting old, which Batman will, he's human. Superman, not so much. But Batman will age, but we never get that story. So when we do get them, we're like, this is weird.
Right.
When in reality, he should be long gone by now, because
But yeah, in this timeline, he's gone. Like, you know, Batman has died. Bruce is dead. So,
you get the future. I'm considering the middle timeline the current timeline. That's like what we're reading about now.
I don't know. I look at it. I think the future is the current timeline.
That
book,
right. But I'm reading it. See, I'm reading it with a different perspective. I'm reading it like, okay, this book is showing us what's going to happen in the future, but here's the current timeline, because the current timeline in that book is current to what's going on in now. in other books, right?
Right.
So that's what I mean like by current. But I know what you're saying. Like, you can only be current. It can't be future because we don't know the future. So the current timeline of that book is the future.
Right.
If that wasn't confusing enough for the listeners.
I know.
But I do like the story and the fact that they worked in Mask of the Phantasm.
Right.
And that storyline and was Andrea, that whole thing.
Right.
Really, really cool. I went back and watched the movie.
Well, and it's really setting up because they keep referencing what happened to Andrea, but we don't know yet
right.
what happened. So that is building, you know, kind of building the mystery too, that we're kind of trying to figure out what happened. So I think that's cool.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like I said, I wasn't necessarily on board after the first issue, although, I mean, I was going to keep reading it regardless.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like I like it a little bit more after issue two.
Yeah. I mean, there's only 10 left.
Well, right.
Might as well keep going.
Yeah, a lot can happen in 10.
Yeah. So. Did you see the ad at the end of it for flashbacks with Mayim Bleek or whatever from
I saw it Blossom. But I didn't read it. Yeah, I didn't.
It's actually pretty. I showed it to Jen. I was like, check this out. It's for little kids, but I liked it. And it says it's a character of her,
right?
Right, and she says I played a neurologist or a neuroscientist on Big Bang Theory, but I actually am one in real life, and I'm going to teach you about science with the. So it's for kids. But it teaches like flashback. It uses the flash to teach you about speed and all of the real physics of all this stuff. And I was like, my kids, this is probably way underneath them. But I'm like, I could probably learn a thing or two from these comics. So I'm like, it looks pretty cool.
She's Professor Proton.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah.
I saw it, but I didn't read it.
Yeah. Check it out. It's a short read. I mean, it's just an ad, you know, it takes 2 seconds, but check it out. It's pretty funny. It looks great for kids.
Yeah.
Did you read Bite Sized 2?
No.
This week?
No, I didn't get to that. The only other book I read was Deceased Dead Planet, number 7.
Okay. I didn't read that. How was it?
Yeah. It was good. I mean, it was the final issue, so it just,
you
know, tied everything up and, you know, ended everything. And looks like it will be the last of the deceased. Stories. Yeah. So this should be the end of it. But yeah, it was good. I liked that series. I think of the three different deceased, this was actually my favorite one.
I liked it too. I'm two behind on that. I need to read the last because today's came out. I hadn't read the one before yet. That's why I didn't read it yet. But no, Bite-Sized. It's definitely for kids. I thought I really enjoyed this book, but I can't say like if, you know, for the adults listening, I can't say run out and grab it because even this book was like, it's still Christmas morning now.
Right.
So it's great. It has that whole Christmas feel. It's definitely what Christmas morning is like. It had all of the parents sitting on the couch while the kids are opening gifts and stuff. But I thought it was a little drawn out on how long it took to get to the robot stuff.
Yeah.
And I think for kids, it's a good story. I will continue with it because I love Christmas. I love the story. But honestly,
and I think it's only 4 issues anyways, right?
Is it really?
Yeah, 4 or 5. I think it's
I hope it's 5 because they just wasted. Really, if I'm being honest, they wasted
an
issue.
If it's 4,
they
wasted. Yeah, they wasted it.
This issue is really basically Christmas morning and they're. You have no more information about the robot,
right?
It likes to harvest parts. That's all you learn, and you're like, okay, that's it. I thought the first book had way more information, way more foundation. I thought they were going to build on that. Then you would have been further along. But if this is for kids, they're probably not going to pick it. It's at their pace,
right?
You know. So, but I still enjoyed it for me. All right. Is that all we got? Because you've already...
Yeah, that's everything I read, so...
All right. Let's get to Real World then, quickly moving along. What did you watch this week?
Well, actually, I forgot something that I watched last week that I remembered I wanted to talk about.
Oh, geez.
Coyote on CBS All Access. six episodes. It had Michael Chiklis, and I don't know if you know what a coyote is, but
the dog.
Basically, it's a guy that brings illegals over the border from Mexico to the United States.
Okay, so I didn't know.
Called a coyote, yeah, and that's basically what he is. He's actually a border patrol agent who gets roped into working for the cartel.
And it's Michael Chiklis, you said?
Michael Chiklis, yeah.
Oh, Jen loves him. We're definitely all in.
And commish? He has to, smuggle some people over the border.
The Shield? She loves him.
Yeah, yeah, I do too. The Thing.
The Thing, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'm listing the ones that she was like, he's on again on this show. Okay,
right.
So cool.
But yeah, it's a six episode series on CBS All Access. You know, depending on how it does, it was definitely set up for a season two. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, pretty good show overall. And like I said, I watched that when I was on vacation. So a couple weeks ago, I just forgot to mention it last week. This week, I watched 30 Coins, which is on HBO Max. And it had dropped three episodes at the time I watched it, and then Monday night, the fourth episode dropped. This is a horror story, and it's actually, it's a Spanish show, so it's all subtitled. But yeah, it's basically a horror story. The 30 coins refer to the 30 coins that Judas got when he betrayed Christ, and it's kind of, you know, it's like a religious horror story. So yeah, it's pretty good though. You know, it's if you like subtitles, you know, you have to be willing to read
the whole
thing.
I can't get enough of them, John.
Yeah,
I was just saying, why do I need to hear it when I can read it?
I don't traditionally love subtitled shows, but I had heard good things about this, and so I wanted to give it a shot. And
well, as you list your shows, I type them in here so that I have them on my phone. And when you said subtitles, I started deleting it.
I'll
retype it.
it can be a little cheesy, you know. It's a foreign show, so there's a little bit different sensibilities than some of the shows we do, and it probably doesn't have the budget.
You mean it has sensibility?
Yeah.
opposed to us?
But it probably doesn't have the big budget that it would get here if we were doing it. But it's a pretty interesting story. Like I said, I'm not going to say it's great because it does have some cheese to it because it is a horror, you know, it is
a horror
story. But
I love the cheese.
But yeah, but I don't know. Check it out and see.
Right.
And then we watched... started watching Warrior, which is on Netflix. And I saw an ad because I guess season two just dropped. And so they started promoting season two. And it's based on the writings of Bruce Lee. So I guess stories he had written.
I've heard of that.
Before he passed, yeah. And it's, you know, as you would expect, it's a martial arts show. And takes place in like 1800s San Francisco, where, you know, all the Chinese were being brought in to do basically slave labor. And, you know, this guy comes over from China looking for his sister and gets roped into doing all kinds of stuff. But of course he's a martial arts wizard. So, so it's a martial arts show. Again, a little bit on the cheesy side. It's got some moments that are a little cringeworthy, but overall it's actually been pretty good. We watched basically season one, so like 10 episodes, and you know, we'll get started on season two here probably tomorrow. But yeah, overall it's been pretty good. Really, really good choreography, like really good martial arts.
Yeah.
So if you like that, you know, it's worth it for that alone. Like, say again, some of the acting, some of it is, you know, a little cheesy.
So we already talked Cobra Kai this week.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit of Cobra Kai. But here's what I like that they did on this show that I always complain about, and I wish more shows would do. So they establish when these characters start talking to each other that they're talking in Chinese, right? Because they're Chinese. And the first maybe like 3 minutes or so of their conversation. It's all in Chinese and it's subtitled. But then it transitions to English. So you're listening to it in English, but they're still talking in Chinese.
Right.
When somebody else enters the frame that speaks English, all of a sudden they're talking Chinese again.
But oh, cool.
I wish more shows would do that because I hate reading shows. And it's like, can't we just set up the understanding that they're speaking in Russian, but we get to hear it in English?
Right.
So this show actually is the only show I've really ever seen that did that. But they keep the ruse going because right. when other people come into the frame, the language switches back to Chinese and the subtitles come on again. So it's actually really cool the way they do it.
Cool.
It took me a minute to figure. I got a little confused the first time it happened because I was like, "All right, why are they all speaking English?"
Well,
all
like
of a sudden?
They did that in Hunt for Red October.
Oh, did they? I haven't seen it in a while, but
so remember, yeah. they're on the sub,
right?
And it was
where they're all speaking
Sean
Russian.
Connery, and they're all speaking Russian. But then, as they're speaking, I think the camera zooms in on his face and on his lips, and then he starts speaking English.
Changes to English, right?
But then you don't get the Russian speak again until they actually board the ship. When they board the Red October and the Americans are with the Russians,
the Russians all speak Russian
and they have to translate. So they kind of did the exact same thing.
Yeah, you're right. I kind of forgot about that. Yeah. I like that too.
But that's
too.
Not a series though either.
I wish more shows would do that though.
Right.
Because there's so many shows where you're like, okay, I get it. They're speaking in Russian, but... can it just be English so I can look at my iPad and still pay attention to the show?
Yeah.
You know? Because, like, the 30 coins, like, we sat down to watch it during dinner, and I had to shut it off because I couldn't eat my dinner. Because I couldn't eat dinner and watch the TV at the same time and read the subtitles. So, it's like, I think that's it. I mean, we watched a couple of episodes of Mr. Robot. But I got sidetracked by Warrior, so we put Mr. Robot on hold, and we're watching Warrior first. And then other than that, I mean, I know we'll talk about it more, but we watched, of course, WandaVision.
WandaVision, yep. We'll get to that in a minute. So, just a quick tangent. Did you see on Twitter the Bill Burr on with Jimmy Fallon? I saw the clip of it. And he was talking about being on The Mandalorian and how some Star Wars fans are upset because there's a Boston accent in the Star Wars universe.
It's not a Boston accent. It's just the accent of whatever planet he came from.
Right.
Right.
But it's his accent and supposedly it's a Boston accent, right? Right. And he's like, wait a minute. And he rips into it like it's so funny. He's so great with it. And he's like, the best one was, he goes, there's a droid with an English accent?
Right.
What, has he been knighted? He goes, that's okay? Imagine you end up somewhere in space and the guy's speaking with an English accent, a British accent. Right. Like, that doesn't make sense. Or what was, he said the one about Han and Chewie. And I never even thought of that. Like, you and I talked about, or maybe it was Joe and I talked about how Jabba needs a translator. Like, C-3PO is there to translate.
Right.
But he speaks English to Jabba.
Right.
And then he hears Jabba and then speaks the English back to, who was it, Leia or whatever.
Right.
But I'm like, if Jabba understands the English, and they, you know, like, why does, what do you need the translator for? But anyways, he says, he's like, Chewie can't speak English. Chewie's like, and Han speaks English to him. They both understand each other, but neither of them speak the other one's language.
Right.
It's like, why doesn't Han, if he understands it, why doesn't he just speak that to him or something? Or if Chewie can, why doesn't he speak it? I don't know. But it was pretty funny. Yeah. It was funny. It's a quick clip.
Yeah. I didn't see it, but I'll look for it.
So this week, we did start The Alienist.
Okay.
I really like it. It's a little slow for Jen. Apparently, they're not killing people fast enough.
Not killing fast enough, huh?
Yeah. It is a gruesome show, though.
It is pretty gruesome. But
we're
a
few episodes in.
I don't know. I think it's really good.
Yeah. You know what got her? She loved the premise. She loved the story. But when I told her it was like a time period piece from like the early 1900s, she wants to see modern killings.
Right.
She's all this, all about
this
the
old this old fashioned
this old stuff.
Stuff.
But yeah. How about in what was it? It was in the first couple episodes, but talking about fingerprints,
right?
Because they weren't they didn't know they hadn't they were just literally discovering them. So that was right. That was a pretty cool little thing. And we've started in on Game of Thrones again.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And we're having a blast with now with the 4K discs.
Right.
And Jen is like blown away. I know this isn't the home theater, but you and I have been down this tangent many times on the show. But even Jen's like, this looks amazing. She's like the costumes, the armor, the detail. It's so much fun to go back through it. We've never been back through. We've just done it the one time and we kind of in 2 months watched 1 through 7. I had them on Blu-ray.
Right.
And we were late to the party, so now we're going back through it. And it's so much fun dealing with, like, Baelish and, you know, all the different evil characters that you're like, ha-ha, I know how you end up.
Right.
It's like, so you're able to talk Joffrey? Oh,
you're
going to
get yours, Littlefinger.
Yeah, exactly. And Joffrey, though, you're like, oh, so happy. So happy. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you can be your little brat that you are.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I haven't gone through it. We haven't gone through it again either.
Although so I think you've never been back through it?
Well, I think when Lydia's dad was ill, we went for like 2 weeks to Brownsville to stay with him. And he didn't have TV. He had like two channels, you know, he had no cable or anything. But we had, I think at the time, seasons 2 through 4. On my computer, I had them on my laptop. So we started again with season 2 because I didn't have season 1, and we watched those seasons while we were, you know, there with him. So I've seen those seasons twice, but I haven't watched it all the way through.
Yeah,
more than you know, only one time I've watched it all the way through. So
yeah, so I'm really enjoying that. We're 5 episodes in. To season 1, and we actually had to do season.
So with the 800 shows you have on the back burner, you're gonna watch something you've already seen.
But she really wants to do it, and she loves watching that in the theater. So I'm all in. I mean,
well,
anything,
I hear you.
You know, I'm
take
like,
take your wins while you
take
can
the
get
wins.
Them.
It's I'm like Jim Belushi there, and what is it? Last Action Hero,
right?
Remember that when he shows up and he's like, "I'm just here because my wife likes Arnie." You know, he's in something. I just do what she says. And she's like, let's go downstairs and watch this. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I mean,
I have Ted Lasso, though.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, but we had to do episodes 1 and 2 really quickly. And I had to be quick on the fast forward button at the end because she didn't want to see the direwolf get killed.
Oh.
The puppy at the end of episode 2. She's like, the butcher's son. He gets beaten to death and, you know, so the end of 2, she's like, she knew she didn't want to do that. So she was like, let's get it over with so I can just enjoy it after that. She's been stressing. But all right, we've come to the part of the show where we got to talk about, you know, that show just came out this past weekend.
Yep, it did.
Batwoman.
Yep.
You didn't watch it, did you?
No, I did not.
Because you said you wouldn't.
And I'm not going to.
I liked it.
Did you?
Yeah. So here's what's interesting about it. You can't say it's not the right character. It's completely made up.
Well, it's a brand new character.
It's a brand new character.
It's not Kate Kane. So
nope. And with the new story, Kate Kane is still alive.
Right.
You think. They don't tell you for sure because they could say she's dead.
They did say they were going to leave that open.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. So, you know, this is the first episode, so I'll give you a little bit of spoilers, maybe to get you enticed.
Oh, you can spoil anything, because I'm not going to watch it. So,
basically, the new Batwoman found the suit.
She found it?
She just found it. Yep.
Okay.
Kate Kane's plane crashed at the beginning. That's how they
quote-unquote kill
her off. But the woman saw the crash, and she gets there, and there's the suit. And she's like, oh, my God, here's the suit. So she takes it. And of course, what's his name? The man at the computer.
Fox.
Yeah, Fox. But So that team is like, where's the suit? Because if you put it on, it's tracked. So you get through that whole story. But she puts the suit on. It's a pretty funny scene where she's figuring out how the suit works. You get all that, a little bit of like Shazam, like it does this and it does that. She has a little bit of martial arts background, but I actually like the story that they're going with for her. It's like she has a reason for wanting to be in the suit, yeah, but she also tries to get rid of the suit because she doesn't think she's worthy. And you know what? I think part of it might be that the reason I enjoyed it, and I'll admit this, we haven't had a CW show. And like right, we said last week, it's been a while. We kind of didn't care. But you know what? When I sat down to watch this, commercials and all,
you did care.
I was having fun. Yeah. You know, I was like, hey, I'm back in the CW. It's kind of dark. There's some humor. I almost was going to say this is a cross between The Flash and Arrow. Like if you were to flip, mix those two up and you have the darkness of Arrow and the humor that you get in Flash, it's kind of like that. And I kind of liked it. And I'm going to, it is corny as hell. Your convenience meter would just throw it out.
Be off the try being the red again. Flatlining.
Oh, it's a CW show. So.
Right.
But I had fun with it, and I'm looking forward to next week's show. It's like I have them recorded on my the DVR or whatever you call it for Fubo,
right.
And I thought I already had the next show, and it's like it just tells you when the next one's coming out.
Right.
So I'm like, oh man, I thought I could click on it, but I didn't. It said January 24th.
Yeah.
Damn.
Coming next week. Yeah.
Right. So 3 more days I gotta wait.
Yeah, because it's a Sunday night show, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, because it went up against football, so.
Right, but usually they don't, usually they're, Supergirl, I think, started on Sunday
Supergirl
night.
And Batwoman were typically Sunday nights last year.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. So. But, yeah, so, you ready to get to WandaVision? Spoiler free.
Sure. All right.
WandaVision! All right, John, spoiler free. What'd you think?
I liked them. I wasn't blown away by them, though.
Think the format lends itself to blow you away.
No, but here's what I'll say. I really enjoyed both episodes, honestly. Like, the style was great. I love the humor. I love the sitcom feel of them. But if I didn't know, like, if I wasn't already in for the ride because of what happened before, like, I don't know if this show would have hooked me to continue on to keep watching it. You know what I mean? Like, it has a certain degree of latitude because I know it's...
You need the foundation to appreciate, to stick around.
Like, all on its own, the episodes were fun, but, like, they wouldn't have been enough to hook a new viewer.
Right.
And, you know what I mean? To say, like, oh, this is going to be a great show. I think, ultimately, it will be a great show because of that foundation and because, you know, you can sort of see the subtext of what's going on but underneath the surface of these shows. There was enough things breaking through the sitcom world to let you know that things weren't you know, really on the up and up and weren't what they appeared to be. But I think, like I said, Disney banked a little bit on the goodwill they have built up with the audience.
Well, I don't even know if it's goodwill as much as it is
or
the working knowledge. The working knowledge of the MCU is what's playing into this. It's not really... I get what you're saying by good faith, but it's not like it's a bad show.
And you're
like,
not.
Oh, they'll redeem themselves.
Right.
But like Joe and I were saying while we were watching it, we just kept saying it. We're like, this is not for the newbie. This is not for somebody new to the... This is not a good show for you to be introduced to the MCU because you're going to be like, what the heck is this? Why are they doing this?
Right.
And all of the artistic choices that they made, I think, are fantastic.
Right.
But as far as, like, coming in new into this show, you're missing everything. You need a very good working knowledge. Not a very good, but you need a working knowledge of the MCU.
Right, but prior to this, like, there's 23 movies in the MCU, and the only movie in the entire 23 movies that you couldn't watch by itself is Endgame. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you can't watch Endgame without having seen Infinity War.
Right.
But you could watch Thor 2, doesn't matter if you've seen anything else.
Right.
Like, every other movie they have the connective threads, but they also, like, you could start your journey with any of those movies. This show was not that. Like, you could not jump into this show
right
without having, at very minimum, seeing the four Avengers movies and Winter Soldier. Like, right. You had to have seen those five movies.
That's a great point in that. So, do you think that that could end up being a mistake and their downfall? Because say their shows, which we know are very highly linked together, even right. if they are standalones, but, like, we know that, like, one means something towards the next. Right. But what if their TV shows are so high, like, dependent on being part of that MCU that it could become, for newer viewers, because you're going to need people coming in, right?
Right.
So
right.
could that end up being your downfall in 2, 3, 4 years where people, like, the newer viewers are like, I'm not getting into that. I got 23 movies behind me that I'm not going to understand. So they just avoid it altogether.
It could be, but I feel like, and I don't know why I feel this because I have no knowledge of this being true, but I feel like Winter Soldier and Falcon won't be the same. Like, I think it will be a little bit easier to get in and watch on its own, whereas this show definitely is not. Like, if you don't understand that that Wanda lost her brother, if you don't understand that Vision is dead and isn't actually in this show at all, like, you don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? Right. You have to have that.
Well, I have something. We're going to do kryptonite on this, but I have a theory for you that I wanted to ask you about.
Okay. But I think with Falcon and Winter Soldier, it will be a little bit easier to digest on its own, based on just the trailers right. and the way I think that show is going to work.
I think Falcon and Winter Soldier is going to be more action, and right. this is more cerebral, right? Like,
definitely, at least through the first two episodes. Now, I've heard that from people that saw the first three, because a lot of the screeners got to see three episodes,
okay,
that the end of the third episode really changes the game. So yeah. if that's the case, I almost wish they would have given us three to start with instead of two.
Well, you definitely see why they did two. Because if yes. this ended after 20 minutes,
right?
Because that's what we got. It was 20 minutes of entertainment in the first one. We'll talk more about that. But it's... You definitely, after when that ended, I was like, well, now I know why they gave us two, because
right.
that, and that's kind of what gave me the idea about the Snyder Cut and how they're putting that all in one. It's like,
right.
kind of like this, like it, the viewers of it's a very fragile market right now for viewers, because people are ready to bail because there are so many choices.
Right.
And to your point about the MCU having a lot of latitude, I don't think anybody would have bailed if that's what we got for one episode.
Right.
But at the same time, when you could just put the two out like that, why wouldn't you? So that you get the positive feedback instead of a bunch of, like, what was that?
Right. But I also feel like Disney gave to everybody that was going to put printed reviews of this show out there, Disney gave them three episodes to watch.
Right.
That wasn't by mistake. Like, they gave them three episodes because something was going to happen by the end of that third episode that was going to be gripping and compelling.
Right.
And if that's the case, then we all should have got that. Because there's some segment of people that might say, this isn't for me, and they don't come back. But if they had seen that third episode,
maybe
they would think differently.
Right, but how about this? If you've done one and two, and then you hear the buzz about three, then you're only one episode behind. You just go and pick it up again.
Well, right, but you only hear that buzz if you're paying attention.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, how many people don't pay attention to stuff like that? If you watch one and two in week one,
right?
You know, and you're going to ignore it. I'm not worried about that. I am looking forward to three and looking forward to the series.
Yeah, I definitely am.
This is going to be one that'll be fun to go back through. And I think there's going to be a lot of nuggets that play.
Oh, there's a ton of nuggets in here already.
I know, but I mean, even
I'm sure there's
more
a lot
later.
Of them that have gone over right. both of our heads still.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
there's a bunch of stuff that I caught as I was watching it. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think this will definitely be one of those shows that would benefit from a second watch through after you've seen the ending of
after it. After you've seen it, yeah. right. Right. All right. Is that it?
I think so.
Because let's get into it. Let's get the door locked. We'll wrap this up for this week. And then we'll lock the door and we'll do some kryptonite talk about WandaVision episodes 1 and 2. But that's it for this week. John, you're off next week. You've got quite the celebration coming up. So
I do.
Enjoy. Yep. You deserve it. You know,
yeah. Can't wait.
Yeah, exactly. So you're off next week. We have something planned. Some co-hosts in the works, possibly. We will see if their schedule permits. Dr. Joe, buddy, how you doing? but we'll put something together. If it's just me by myself chatting, I'm not going to tell you that it's just me because you'll never listen, but we'll have a show.
You'll have to find out as it goes.
Right. You'll have to tune in to find out. But until then, you can tweet at us at brightside_chat, or you can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. And check out all the great podcasts at Nerdy Legion. Just go to nerdylegion.com and you can subscribe to us, or just hit subscribe and get them all. Just support all the podcasts. They all deserve it. Really appreciate that. And, John, what is coming next week?
We have
surprised you. Look at you. That was a quick draw, too.
Yeah, we have got Future State, Aquaman, Batman, Superman, Legion of Superheroes, Suicide Squad, and Superman vs. Imperius Lex. So I think this is the last batch of number ones that we haven't had yet for Future State. And then from Skelt Comics, there's a book called Stake Number One, coming out. Yes. The vampire book.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. That'll do it. Until next week. I will see you then. John will be back in 2 weeks. Have a great week.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred.
All right. Is the door locked?
It is locked.
All right. Door's locked. WandaVision. Spoilers. Where do you want to go?
Well, you have something you want to ask, so
all right. Here's start the, there. Now, this is the big... There's a ton of little nuggets here and there. I mean, I haven't gone to the YouTube channels yet to see what I've missed.
I haven't either. I just picked up what I picked up.
Right.
And,
but... One thing that was starting to become apparent to me as I watched the show, and this is out there, this is a far-fetched one, but what do you think of this idea? And I wouldn't put it past the MCU. We're all assuming this is in Wanda's head.
Right.
Because that's what the books have said. Because this has happened in the books, right?
Right. Similar. Yeah.
Similar idea.
Not exactly,
right?
Because circumstances are different from the
but
MCU.
But they're leading you in that direction because what she did this before when she lost her kids and this and then you have the idea in this one, it's for the children. It's for the children. Right. So what do you think of the idea that this isn't in her head? This is in Vision's head.
Well, I've heard that.
Oh, you have?
I've heard some people say that this is happening inside the Soul Stone.
That's where I was thinking. But yeah. Actually, I'm sorry. It's not inside the Soul Stone. What I was thinking is this is what Shuri did. Because remember, they were working on him?
Right.
And she said she could do it. And then he appears on the battlefield. So whatever that was, maybe... I don't know, but she did something to him. Whatever's happening. The other thought I had is maybe this is his life flashing before his eyes right. as he's being killed or whatever. And before you rebut, one of the things that makes me think that is a lot of the stuff that's going on in this never took place around her. Some of these memories of past events that have happened, and I can't even think of one off the top of my head, but I was thinking, I'm like, he can know everything because for all intents and purposes, he was the internet. He was Jarvis. He knows anything and everything in all of history. He has access to that or had access to that. So he would have all of this. She would literally have no idea, really, why would she be imagining like Dick Van Dyke or Bewitched. Whereas he went through the internet and he accessed everything.
Right.
So I know it's out there, but what do you think of that?
Well, I don't know that she's specifically referencing Dick Van Dyke. I think that's the style of the writers wanted the episode to be written in. She is just envisioning her ideal life with Vision.
Right.
You know? I think the style is more for the viewer than her. The only thing that makes me question, like, I don't know any more than you do. Like,
I think you just keeping it close to the vest.
Yeah, it's just as big of a mystery to me. But the reason why I believe it's her subconscious or her memory is because somebody's trying to break through and talk to her while this is happening. You know what I mean?
But have they said that? Have they said her name? No, yes. They hear the voices, but have they said Scarlet?
No, because they've said something like, Wanda, who's doing this to you? Or Wanda, you know, somebody's talking specifically to Wanda.
I don't remember.
While this is happening. And that's the only reason why, because when I heard the thing about the Soul Stone too, I thought the same thing. It's like, it clearly somebody's trying to get through to her. Like, she's unconscious or what have you. Now, the thing that's a little bit different, possibly, than what I originally thought, because before I started watching this show, my thought was that she was creating this all in her head as a way to cope with what happened. But it's possible that, like, I hadn't really considered the sword aspect of it. It's possible somebody's actually trying to control, that it's not her doing it, that it's somebody actually doing it to her.
Right.
So she might not turn into the big bad after all, which is what
she thought, but she's under control. So that gives her a redemption arc that we could get back. Right.
I thought that, you know, she was going to just break and she was doing this. But like I said, it is possible that it's being done to her. You know, again, we won't know, you know, we won't know a little bit more until the story unfolds. But I still think it's her subconscious because of the fact that you hear people trying to call her by name while she's, you know, in the sitcom world or what have you.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see.
I still think there's a possibility that it could be Vision, because even I got to go back and watch it myself again. But even if they're saying Wanda, imagine you're in a coma and your wife's there and the doctor's like, Wanda, what are they trying to do? What are they tuned to you? And he just happens to be hearing it. I could definitely write that off. I could totally see that. I also know it's a reach.
Right.
But it wouldn't surprise me though, because I think that they're doing the same stuff. They're not going to mirror the comic identically. They never have.
No, they're not.
Here's a possibility that they kind of do, but they put a good twist on it and give us a good story. So who knows?
No, like I said, anything's possible. Like I said, I don't know anymore.
Especially in the MCU.
I don't know any more than you do with it. So
right.
Because like I said, it's not going to follow the comics, you know, specifically. So just because we think one thing doesn't mean that's what it's going to be. I'm definitely, you know, like I was saying earlier, I'm really on board for this because we know what's going on. You know what I mean? Like, we know what there's a mystery there, and we know that despite what we're seeing, that, you know, that's not the reality of it. But my point would be, like I said, you know, that's only because I've seen what came before.
Right.
I don't know if it did a great job all on its own to bring new people in with an understanding of what's going on. Like, I just don't think this is the kind of show where you could just pick it up and watch it.
Because you wouldn't understand. You might appreciate, like, I really liked, like, well, let's get into that. What'd you think of I call it Dick Van Dyke. I've heard people say I Love Lucy, but it was definitely
Dick Van Dyke.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But it's,
and then it was Bewitched.
And Bewitched, it definitely was Bewitched.
Right.
But more importantly, I think it was a 50s movie, show, and then a 60s show.
Yes, because next episode is supposed to be a 70s show.
Right.
I've already seen that, where they go into color, and it's a 70s.
Right. And what was funny is, watching this with Joe, it's like, I'm pointing at the screen when they went to episode two, and I was like, that is, they did such a good job capturing not only the sets and the costumes and the acting. The acting was dead on.
No, it was perfect. Yeah.
It was perfect. I mean, but I thought they even, the tone of the black and white, I thought was perfect as well. They nailed everything.
Yeah, no, it felt like it really felt like an episode of Dick Van Dyke. Even to the point where they had separate twin beds.
Yep.
Well, that might have been in the second. I don't remember when
that
happened.
Well, that went into the 60s and even into the early 70s.
Right. But, you know, they had separate twin beds in the bedroom and, you know, the style. Now, here's something I heard somebody else saying that I didn't necessarily pick up on, and I might want to watch it again, too. But they were talking about the laugh track of the show.
Yeah.
How the laugh track didn't actually correspond to the moments when they were telling jokes. You know, like when they would tell a joke and you would think that's when the laugh track would come, it didn't come then. It came like when it was something that wasn't necessarily funny and it was supposed to be like a more sinister laugh and not necessarily a reaction to something that was funny like it would be in a traditional sitcom.
That's a good one.
I haven't gone back and watched that, so I don't know for sure, but it was Kevin. It might have been Mark Bernard. Somebody was talking about it on another podcast I listened to where they noticed that the laugh track was not following the jokes, that it was happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to check that out.
Yeah.
And that's what's cool. Even just to go back and do these two episodes, like 40, 50 minutes.
Yeah, it's nothing. Yeah, it's less than an hour.
You bang them out, no problem.
Right.
That's another thing I wanted to look up, but I could probably do it right now. But I'm wondering if the timestamps reflect the shows from the time period. Like it was 20 minutes long. The first one was an I Love Lucy show or something like that, or Dick Van Dyke, like 20 minutes back in the 50s. Was shows like 20 minutes in the 50s, and then so you know what I mean? Because and I'm only saying that because they put that amount of detail into everything they did.
Well, did you notice the, like in the first episode, they had the whole thing with the heart on the calendar?
Yeah.
Did you notice the date?
No.
It's the 23rd, and there's 23 MCU movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So there's lots of little things.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That,
you know, they had the water, the wine bottle when it was like Maison M something, and you know Maison is French for house, so it was House of M.
Right. House of M, right.
Yeah. So there's a lot of little things like that that
everything means something in these things, and that's what that's getting into my, like when you watch it multiple times, you start picking up. That's the stuff I love to look at, because nothing is done by accident. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a meaning. In most movies, in most writing,
in most things,
they all
do, but definitely
it's just
in
we
this.
Never find out, but. There's, stuff like this is like...
Yeah, there's so much in this that I think, like I said, I think we don't even know yet. Like, we probably didn't even, just didn't even see it because, you know, we didn't know to look for it.
Right. No,
or
you
just
know.
Can't. You just can't catch it all in
you
one...
You can't catch
in,
it all.
In one
you
go
You can't
through.
Catch it all. Yeah. But it's... That's the thing, is by the time it's over, it's... What is it going to lead into is that... And that's what... As much fun as this is, I know I'm set up for a, I don't want to say disappointment. That's the wrong term. But you know when this is all over, they're going to leave us with being like, oh my God, I can't wait for whatever it's leading into.
Well, I think it leads directly into Doctor Strange.
But that doesn't come out for another, that comes out after Spider-Man, no?
It does, but I can't imagine it leads at all into Black Widow. Or
no,
Spider-Man.
No,
you know?
No, it definitely, it could lead into Spider-Man.
I mean, maybe in the sense of the multiverse, it could a little bit lead into Spider-Man.
Right.
But I don't, it won't have anything to do with Black Widow.
No, not at all, because Black Widow was supposed to be out months before this.
Before,
so
right.
We know that. It's,
Right. So when we get to the end of this, we're going to be probably out of luck until Dr. Strange
right.
comes
That's what
out.
I mean. It's like, that's why I say, like, it's going to be like a disappointment type feeling. Yeah. Like, oh, now I've got to wait forever for whatever. It's like, granted, there'll be other things we're watching. But
well, there will, yeah. Because, again, we'll go right into Falcon Winter Soldier and then Loki, and we'll have stuff to get to watch. But
yep. Yep.
But, yeah, we won't see where the threads of this untangle until...
I think it's going to take us some time to untangle the entire series. I think over, we'll definitely want to go back through and, like, each episode has threads to threads. And one of the fun things, I think, because they are so short, is, like, so before Friday's show, I'll probably watch these two again. But then going forward,
yeah,
I'll
by the time
the
you get to episode
week's...
seven, yeah, you're not going to be able to watch all five of them. All
no, but I'll
them.
Watch the previous week's episode.
Right.
So you see what I mean? So it's like in reality, like this week I'd watch two and three on Friday morning. Right. And then the following week I'd watch three and four and, you know, and keep going that way. That way you get a double of each and it gets you through the episodes and keeps you up to date. So.
Right.
Very, very good. Very well done. But all right, you got anything else? I mean, we're going to be talking about this every week going forward, and there'll be more little nuggets coming up, I'm sure. And like you said, this episode three is going to be supposed to be the
it's
one
supposed
that
to be the one
really
yeah,
hooks you in.
Yeah, that's what I heard anyway.
All right, I'm holding you to it.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I'll have to get your you and I'll have to talk before next week's show because you won't be around next week.
Oh, you're right.
So I'll probably
talk
WandaVision with maybe Dr. Joe is. Or
yeah,
whoever.
But yeah, we'll have to.
You and I'll chat.
I'll have to call you before or after I watch it.
Yep. So. Maybe. Oh, can you do that watch along thing with this?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. Or we could.
I mean,
just
even
talk
if we do,
other?
Though, we're not going to be able to talk specifically while we're watching it.
Right.
So.
We could FaceTime while we're doing it.
Yeah, but then you're not going to be able to pay attention to the show.
Right, because you're so interesting that I would be listening to every word you say. Mute.
Yeah, well, then there's no reason to do it.
I'm kidding.
You know? I know, but I'm just saying.
Then you get to see the expression on my face as I enjoy.
Right, but I won't be watching you. I'll be watching the show.
Saying I'm not interesting enough?
I'm not saying that.
All right.
I'm not saying it.
Yeah. Oh, I know this isn't spoilers and it's way after the show, but Flash Season 7 premiere delayed by 1 week.
Oh, 1 week. Okay.
For those of you that stuck
the way here just to find out.
I did look it up. It's delayed by 1 week, and I haven't been able to figure out, but Superman and Lois is... there's going to be a half-hour show after the fact?
Right. It's an hour show and then a 30-minute special.
Oh, I thought I heard it was a 2-hour thing. So maybe it's a 90-minute show and a half-hour special. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. We'll or maybe see. maybe it's the premiere is spread over two nights, but we get a 30-minute special after the first night. Maybe I don't know.
No, it's Lois. Superman and Lois is premiering February 23rd at 8 p.m. and we'll move to 9 p.m. time slot on Tuesdays. And Flash will remain at 8 p.m. starting March 2nd. So I think they're moving it so they can have both hours. So, but we'll see. But that was from earlier in the show. So,
cool.
All right. That's it.
I think so.
All righty. That was great. Have a great week, John. I will talk to you in a few days or whatever after WandaVision. But take care next week.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Mm-hmm.